your game, it's our passion. Proud to be home for the National Hockey League in Calgary. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. One hour of hockey talk to kick off your afternoon. This is Hockey Central at Noon, only on Calgary's Hockey Station. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Happy Friday on a Flames game day. Welcome to Hockey Central at Noon from Shanks and Crowfoot Terrace, which must mean that the Flames are on the road. They are indeed in Columbus tonight as they continue a six-game road trip against the Blue Jackets. 5 o'clock face-off, as you just heard Will say, which means we're on the air at 4 o'clock with your Flames warm-up. Sportsnet West, and of course right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Calgary with wins in back-to-back games. They're above 500. Through the first five games of this year, and as we look back to last season, the Flames went 1-1 against the Blue Jackets, so they'll try and continue this nice little stretch, and this is game five of a six-game road trip. Okay, what can we tell you about tonight's game? Well, we don't know for sure. As you just heard in the update, it sounds like anything that we are guessing at or any inferences that we're making from morning skate in Columbus are all game-time decisions. But it looks like we'll see Lance Bulma return to the lineup, and it also looks like we will see a couple of healthy scratches in the form of... and not only that, Josh Juris is going to make his NHL debut. The healthy scratches in the form of Devin Setoguchi and Johnny Gaudreau. At least that's what it looks like right now. So there's a couple of stories right there. The feel-good story, no doubt about it, is Josh Juris and him making his NHL debut. It looks like that's exactly what's going to happen. Juris recalled by the Flames yesterday, and here we go. Always earned, never given. Well, Josh Juris has earned his call-up, and now he's earned his first NHL game, and he's going to play tonight, it sure does look like. The other story, kind of a more interesting one, and one that we'll get into throughout the afternoon. Would love your text on it at 960-960. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I know there are plenty in the world of the Flames who do think it's a pretty good deal, and that is... no Johnny Gaudreau in the lineup tonight. And again, all game-time decisions when it comes to this, but it looks like that those are the indications that we won't see Johnny Gaudreau tonight. Your texts on that, welcome at 960-960. We'll get into it throughout the afternoon. We'll get into it with Peter Labardius in just a second. Coming up on the show today, Ryan Johansson leads the Blue Jackets in scoring. We're going to talk with him around 12:45 this afternoon. And the LA Kings are certainly off to a nice start this season. They sure do look like a pretty good bet to be a shot to repeat as Stanley Cup champs. They're 3-1-1 through five games. We're going to focus in on them and a nice contract they signed this week at 12:30. But Peter Labardius joins us now from Columbus. And Lou, let's start with Josh Juris, who makes his NHL debut tonight. And you were around him today. He was pretty excited yesterday. I would imagine that excitement carrying over to today.
A little less excitement I read in him today, a little more realization of what's about to happen today, which is completely normal. It's just, I didn't tweet it out yesterday, I probably should have, but I'll say it publicly on the air, is the one thing that never gets old, Pat, in covering this sport or any other sport, is when you get an opportunity to watch someone realize, and it's used a lot. But,
well, you said this on the air yesterday.
Yeah, I mean it is. It's just neat to see somebody's dream come true. It's fabulous, and he's excited, and he does deserve it. And I think that's the best point. He came out of virtually nowhere to put his stamp on the organization and how the organization feels about him. And hopefully, he can come out tonight and provide energy and provide some speed and some grit to this lineup. And frankly, with the players that he will at least start the game with, if the team is true, and I think everybody needs to be somewhat cautious about everything going on today, it's just my inkling that, listen, this team has had a bit of a flu bug go through it, and, you know, we'll see how everything kind of plays out today.
Well,
but there's still a couple... there's still a couple of little things, I think, hanging in the balance before we completely know for sure exactly who's in and who's out.
We just heard Bob Hartley say on the update with Will that, you know, there's a couple guys who are iffy, and so it sure does sound like anything that we're reading into are all going to be game time decisions for a 5 o'clock puck drop in Columbus. So no doubt about it. That is important to underline. I just want one more thought on Juris. I know we talked about him yesterday, and for good reason. He performed so well in the preseason, but we know it's a different ball game now when the games really matter. The regular season is underway. The intensity gets ramped up. It really is a different ball of wax. So just your confidence level that the Juris is going to be able to still impress and still be able to be an effective player, knowing that the games matter that much more.
I think that's always a really difficult question to answer until you find out the answer. And again, I'm not deflecting, Pat. I think he's mature enough. He said some things yesterday that I think, in many ways, what happened for Josh Juris during the course of the preseason and the training camp itself is I think Josh discovered exactly what he has to do to allow him to be successful. So if he can concentrate, I think these scenarios always boil down to this. Is the moment too big for you? And is it? And not that that can't change, Pat, but these are once-in-a-lifetime situations, which is why you should never read too much into someone's, you know, National Hockey League debut, because the nerves are different. The comfort level is different. So, you know, to try and answer your question, I always find it almost impossible to know, because unless you really know someone and have seen them go through enough situations, which in this case I haven't, how do you really know if the stage is going to be too big or not too big? Mm-hmm. And that, to me, in many cases, is what it boils down to. I love his maturity. I'm so excited for him. And I think in many ways we won't see a much different player than we did in the preseason. And remember, you know, the preseason for him was filled with great moments. But he has to be what he has to be. And they want him to add some speed and some energy to the lineup. And if he can do that, you know, and not hurt his team and be irresponsible, or again, not have the moment be too big, I think he'll be fine.
Looks like, and again, anything that we're talking about here, all kind of in the balance. We're not totally sure if this is what will end up happening, but judging on lines at Morning Skate.
It's worth talking about, though, Pat. I think it really is.
It is. Judging by Morning Skate, Johnny Gaudreau looks like he will sit out. And you know, for me, the reasoning behind it seems pretty self-explanatory, and I know that Bob Hartley talked about it, and you were there to listen to it, but it seems like it's pretty self-explanatory as to why Johnny Gaudreau is sitting out. But how do you kind of read this decision?
If for numbers people, if you want to look at it like just straight up, so and I'm not saying I read it this way, but I think there's something to it. In five games, he has one shot on goal, one. So that's A. I think from my standpoint, he has found the regular season to be an enormous jump for him in how the game's played. He's still learning, Pat, how to play the game in his own zone. And see, you know, again, not to keep revisiting, but you have to. Johnny Gaudreau is at his best when he has the puck with some time to operate with it. Pat, what helps you get the puck in better positions? Where do you generally start with the puck most of the time in the NHL? You start in your own zone.
Mm-hmm.
So defensively, the more responsible and reliable you become, does that not help put you in positions to accept the puck in better space, to give you more time and space? I certainly think it does.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to learn. I asked him about it. We asked about it in a scrum. I don't know if you guys, well, you haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I'm sure you will.
No, we haven't got it quite yet. We'll have it soon.
But when you do, it's something everyone needs to hear. And by the way, this guy's a prince. You know, he's a really smart, intelligent, well-grounded kid. He knows. Some athletes, trust me, when they're not going as well as they could, I'm not sure they know or they get it or take responsibility for it. This guy knows.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it, and he understands he has a lot to learn. And you know what I love? Even in watching him today in the morning skate, I think he's driven by it. I really do. I think this guy in some ways feeds and always had, because maybe he's had to, on people telling him that he needs to be better or can't. I think if he doesn't play tonight, it's probably a good thing. I think it's probably a good thing that he spends some time watching the game, understanding, seeing defensive responsibilities. This guy's going to be a real good player, Pat. I still truly believe that in every way, shape, or form. And it's all part of the process. I know it's a common word, but it is. Listen, the Calgary Flames have played some really good teams with, guess what? Some great defensemen who are smart, they're big, they know when to lean on you, they know how to take away your time and space. And let's not forget this. For an offensive player, the Flames have been in a few games, unless I've missed it, where they haven't had the puck a lot.
Yep.
So if they don't have it a lot as a group, who's not going to have it?
Yeah, if the team doesn't have it, your offensive players aren't going to have it. And I don't think there's any doubt that that plays into what we're seeing here. And yet, you know, when talking about Gaudreau, I don't think this is a big deal. I don't think this is an indication that he's not doing the right things. I mean, yes, he's got a lot to learn, don't get me wrong, but I still think that he's helped this team create offense, whether or not he has just the one shot or not. I mean, I think that every game so far through five, he's done two or three things that create, and I still think that helps the team. But one thing that you didn't mention there that I think is important to mention is the schedule. He's never played a schedule like this before, and I think that it's important to manage players like this properly. So I don't see this being a big deal. I don't see this as an indictment on him. I don't see this necessarily as an indication he's going to the American Hockey League anytime soon. I just think it's all part of proper management of your players.
And what did I just say? It's all part of what? It's all
the
part
process.
Of the process.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, he comes out of the type of hockey, and he'll tell you this himself. In college, I asked him about it today. He's dealing with a way different system. In college, especially on, you know, with him being the best player in college hockey last year on a great line, he said, you know, they played him, for lack of a better term, he doesn't say this, I'll say this. They got way more room because guess what? When you respect somebody and their speed and their skill, what do teams generally do in those situations? Like, they'll back off. Nobody's backing off in the way they play in the NHL.
Yep.
When pucks are rimmed on the boards and you're a winger on the strong side, you're going to have somebody right in your kitchen. Time after time after time. And so when you add the fact that this is not a very big person, he's played as many games in 1 month as he would have in college probably up until December, different schedule, different level, different size and strength, different system. I don't know about you, but that's a lot to take in all at once.
Yep, I totally agree with you. So, and you know what? If he's, I think there's a pretty good chance he's back in Sunday against the Winnipeg Jets. I think this is, and you're bang on, my friend. This is all part of the process when it comes to Johnny Gaudreau becoming an NHL player. And let's not forget that he's still developing. And for the time being, the Flames have decided to develop him at the NHL level. That says a lot about what they think about him. If you're deciding to develop a player at the NHL level, that means that you believe he can handle all of or what goes along with being in the NHL while still progressing as a hockey player. I think that needs to be underlined as well. It shows you what the Flames think about him, because there's no question this guy's developing still.
Pat, they won't say this, and I completely understand why, and nobody has said this to me, so let me preface it this way.
Okay.
I think going into this season, in many ways, the Calgary Flames would have been A-OK for Johnny Gaudreau to start the year in the American Hockey League. I really believe that. I do, because I think they would have seen some real benefits because of what we talked about. Different games, structure, size of people, schedule, you know, learning how to be a pro for a while. Okay? Nobody ever questions his skill. You're not watching if you question his skill. But there's way more to it than that. However, his play in the preseason forced them to have him around to start the year. That's how I really see it. Like, he kind of gave them no choice. And he deserved the chance. And he may be here the whole year. I have no idea. But again, as I said, how many post-game shows in the preseason did I say? No matter what happens, people, don't lose it.
Yeah.
This is all part of helping this player be a dynamite player down the road. There's a lot to learn at this level. And, Pat, I said this today in a group of us at lunch. I've been watching the National Hockey League my whole life, but have covered it since 1997 on a pretty regular basis. In the last 2 or 3 years, this game has never been faster. It has never been faster with bigger, stronger athletes. It is not easy as a young player to adjust and be consistent in this league. There's a lot to get done and a lot to learn.
Yeah, I'm not freaking out about it. I don't think it's – I mean, we're talking about it because everybody's talking about it.
No, I'm not suggesting that you're on that.
No, I know. I'm just kind of to wrap it up. I mean, I know a lot of people are buzzing about the potential that Johnny Gaudreau won't play today. I just don't think it's really all that big of a deal, and I think in the end it'll be just fine when it comes to this player. He's Peter Labardius in Columbus. I'm Pat Steinberg here at Shanks in Crowfoot Terrace. This is Hockey Central at noon on a game day. Flames and the Columbus Blue Jackets at 5 o'clock. That's why we're here at Shanks, because it's our home away from the Dome. All right, Lou, two straight wins, albeit one of them on Wednesday came in rather interesting fashion. But I'm curious as to just the overall mood of the team and what you've been able to glean from them, knowing where they sit through five games.
I think it's a work in progress. I think they're still tinkering. I've said it many times and have to again. They're still, because of injury, Pat, and because of how the preseason went, I don't think this group is comfortable yet. I really believe that, and I think in some cases it's shown in individuals' play and in team play. They're working at it. They're not there yet. And I thought even more about the question that you asked me on the show yesterday and probably needed to add this caveat to it. I think that's a big reason why, you know, there hasn't been as much consistency in their game early this year as I think through the first four or five last year. I just think they were in a way better position to be more consistent. They didn't have the key injuries. They didn't have, you know, as many new people that they probably, you know, wanted in some ways more from, trying to get them up to speed. So I do. I think as a group, it's a work in progress in many ways to find things out, and even with the previous subject. Well, there's another chapter, right, that might change tonight. You've had a lot of guys in and out. You have new guys still trying to find their way. You've had injuries. So I think they're feeling better about themselves. Winning always helps. But I think they're still really mindful of who they are and the fact that as a group, they want to try and find more consistency and on a more regular basis, you know, play to their identity. And I think the one night where they really played Calgary Flames hockey, if you will, in the new age, was in the game in Nashville on Tuesday. And we'll see if they can come back with that against a depleted, but I think still dangerous Columbus team here tonight.
Important to say, though, that going into this road trip, as we were kind of getting ready for it, and I think as we were all sitting around morning skates or practices or whatever, we kind of looked at it and said, geez, if they can come off this road trip 500, it's probably best case scenario. Well, they've already guaranteed themselves 500 on this six-game road trip.
It's been a successful trip, and in my estimation, will be, even if things go awry potentially, or guess how sports works, Pat, and I won't be surprised if this happens in the next two games. You win games sometimes when you probably shouldn't. And then you lose games some nights when you shouldn't. And I don't know why, but I just have a weird feeling, and I don't know if it's tonight, I don't know if it's Sunday in Winnipeg, that they're going to play one really, really good game of the next two, where it might be, you know, the other side rears its ugly head, where you don't get out of it what you put into it.
Like the opposite of Wednesday.
Right. It all usually evens out. And again, I expect a really competitive game tonight. I don't think it's a bad thing either when your group is on edge sometimes, because it does create competition. And listen, if you're Devin Setoguchi, for an example, and you're out again tonight and Josh Juris is in, that's not sitting very well.
Yeah.
And nor should it sit very well.
Now you want him to be angry.
Yeah, you want him. And then you want him to fix it the next time he gets in.
Yeah. Yeah. Not quickly. I've got all the time in the world for you. Just your impressions. We're talking with Peter Labardius, by the way. The Flames and Blue Jackets tonight in Columbus. Your impression of this Columbus team, 2-1 to start the season.
I sense that they gleaned a lot from going through last year, you know, putting in a very nice showing in round one in the playoffs, where they were miserable to deal with against Pittsburgh. You know what's funny, Pat? I see a lot of Columbus and Calgary in the same way. I think they play very similar. I think they're built in a similar way. They might be a little bit ahead.
Yeah, different time frames, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Where certain players are. But I see a lot of similarities between how these two teams go about their business. And I felt that way for the last couple of years, frankly. So I feel for them. They're depleted. No Horton, no Boone Jenner. Boy, did he come into his own late last year into the playoffs. This is a good young player with a boatload of strength, and maybe even more in the boat as far as potential leadership quality. Ryan Murray's dinged up. He's getting closer. They're, you know, second overall pick a couple of years ago. So no Nathan Horton, and who knows when we'll see him again. And, of course, I can't leave this guy out. How good was he in round one? Brandon Dubinsky.
Yeah.
You know, if Mark Giordano is the heartbeat of the Calgary Flames, Dubinsky's, I mean, he's one of the guys that makes that group go. Because he's a miserable menace to deal with when he's right.
Oh, absolutely.
So they're without a lot, and I'm excited tonight in the sense of watching them. I'm disappointed that Marco Dano is not going to play, because I've really, you know, enjoyed watching him in a couple of World Juniors and the World Championships, and he doesn't even turn 20 until the end of November. Alexander Venberg, who, you know, still would be able to play junior hockey, he's just 20 years of age, is someone I started watching at the World Junior A Challenge in Langley, British Columbia, when he was on a team with Elias Lindholm and Hampus Lindholm, on a Swedish team that was comprised of 17-year-olds at the time, and watched him four games back in that event and thought, even at that time, boy, you know, there's something to work with here. So it's neat. I always love watching other organizations and the young players in other organizations to, you know, to see what they have. And I don't think there's any question in the case of Jarmo Kekäläinen. His track record speaks for itself in terms of making some pretty good decisions at the old draft table.
Yeah, and that Ryan Johansson guy, he looks like he's really having trouble readjusting to the NHL game after missing all that preseason
time.
They're
probably mad at him in some way, deep down. Like, they're happy in one breath, but after going through the whole thing, 5 points in his first three games, you know, without some of their key characters, give them credit. I think you're going to enjoy the interview, by the way, that you're going to play coming up later in the hour.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, because there's some really interesting things that we can talk about when it comes to Ryan Johansson. We're going to hear that around 12:45 this afternoon. Hey, Lou, as always, appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you at 4 o'clock.
Okay, sounds good. Have a good rest of the afternoon.
Peter Lombardi is from Columbus. The color voice of the Flames as Calgary takes on Columbus at 5 o'clock, which means we're on the air with your Flames warm-up at 4 o'clock, live right here at Shanks and Crowfoot Terrace, our home away from the Dome whenever the Flames go on the road. The LA Kings, they look just fine. They had themselves a really, really fun game against the Blues last night. So these guys, a good bet to repeat as Cup champs, would you think? Well, we'll get into that around the corner, but first we go off the ice with Strong and Merrick. This is Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960. Sounding good on the radio and even better on your phone. Download the Rogers Radio app and take Sportsnet 960 The Fan everywhere. Off the ice with Strombo and Merrick. Brought to you by Rogers NHL Game Center Live.
Okay, I know it's super early and we don't want to all start freaking out, but there are surprises and Merrick will break them down for us next.
People ask me, hey, Messier, what's the next big thing in hockey? That's easy. Rogers, NHL Game Center Live. Live stream over 1,000 games so you can follow your team and catch the games that matter to you. They didn't have that when I played. And if you're a Rogers internet or wireless data customer, you get a free subscription until December 31st, 2014 to Rogers, NHL Game Center Live. Learn more at rogers.com/NHL.
All right, I know it's early in the season, Jeff, and we don't want to play the game where all we're like, oh, we figured out the season so quickly in, but points matter when they matter. So in terms of surprises this season, Stamkos had nothing in the first couple of games, but took it out on the Habs, so he's all right. Yep. What's been surprising to you?
Well, let's stick with Tampa then, because as much as, you know, Steven Stamkos exploding against the Montreal Canadiens maybe shouldn't be a surprise, I think the big surprise is, you know, maybe him and Cam Fowler, I think from Anaheim you'd throw into this mix as well, are the most improved players in the NHL last season. So maybe the play of Victor Hedman shouldn't be a surprise, but if you look at that Stamkos breakaway goal against the Montreal Canadiens the other night, you say to yourself, there's maybe five defensemen that can make that pass, maybe only three defensemen, and make it with the confidence that Victor Hedman did. He joins a list that includes Jonas Brodin and Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Erik Karlsson, these Swedish defensemen that were influenced by Niklas Lidström.
Okay, now how about this? Should we be surprised by Rick Nash's start? Because Rick Nash is playing with Marty St. Louis, and that's just a different reality for him.
Well, he's going to the net hard. We didn't see that last year in New York after the concussion, so maybe it is to be expected. But hey, when you have your first child, things happen. So far, so good for Rick Nash.
But you know what? And congratulations to him and Jessica for that.
Hockey Central at Noon with Pat Steinberg on your home of the Flames and the NHL. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Tarasenko picks it up, moves in on an angle. In on goal, Deeks, saved by Quick. Kings win the game. Jonathan Quick, a perfect 3 of 3 in the shootout, recording his 32nd. Career shutout, tying Rogie Vachon's franchise record. And he was a busy goaltender here tonight. 43 saves in regulation and in overtime. 3 for 3 in the shootout, stopping Oshie, Steen, and Tarasenko.
And the final score last night, the Kings come away with a 1-0 win over the Blues and a pretty fun little heavyweight tilt as we welcome you back to Hockey Central at Noon. Pat Steinberg along with you here at Shanks and Crowfoot Terrace. It is Flames game day, Calgary and Columbus at 5 o'clock. Want to welcome in the color voice of the LA Kings. Darrell Evans is with us right now as LA's 3-1-1 after that shootout win last night over the St. Louis Blues. Darrell, appreciate you doing this as always. And you were there. You got an opportunity to take that game in. Pretty fun little heavyweight battle, hey?
It really was. You know, both teams played very well. The St. Louis Blues were a rested hockey club coming in. The last game they played was against Calgary back on Saturday. And for the Kings, it was their fourth game in 6 nights. So it was a good battle. It was a hard-fought game. Quick, the busier of the two goaltenders, was outstanding. Elliott made some huge saves, a couple of timely saves from time to time. And it was one of those games that, you know, if not for the shootout, who knows, we might still be playing.
The situation for LA is kind of it's kind of a usual one for them now, a short summer, and then you come on into the start of the regular season. 3-1-1 to start this year in Los Angeles. How would you judge the Kings through their first five games, Darrell?
Well, I don't think they've been their best yet. I thought in the preseason things were flowing pretty good for them. And I don't want to put a lot of weight on what they accomplished there, but they were in sync. They had a nice flow to their game. Then they had the banner raising on opening night. They never really did get in a groove and got shut out by San Jose. They built a 2-0 lead in Phoenix. Phoenix battled back and won that one, 14 seconds left in overtime with a power play goal. And, they've had some good spurts. There's no doubt that the line with Carter, Toffoli, and Pearson have been the Kings' best to this point. Goaltending has not been an issue. Goaltending has been really solid. Both Jonathan Quick and Martin Jones have provided world-class goaltending for them. And that's allowed the Kings to be able to pick up points in four of the five games to this point. I still think there's a ways to go for them to improve. Their power play has only connected once so far to this point of the season, and that's an area where they should have more success. They've got a couple of nagging injuries to a couple of guys right now, and I think this is a team that, because as much hockey as they've played over the last few years, it's going to be a grind. 64 playoff games. No team in the NHL has played more playoff games over a three-year span than the Kings have, and they've been able to capture a couple Stanley Cups. So, what they've done the last few years, they're going to use, to their advantage. Their understanding they're in for a grind, but they're in the midst of a six-game homestand right now and have captured the first three games. So it's a good start for the Kings.
In conversation with Darrell Evans, he is the color voice of the LA Kings here on Hockey Central at noon. Got to ask you about what happened earlier this week, a five-year, $20 million contract extension for the Kings and defenseman Jake Muzzin. And from the outside, this looks like extraordinary value. It sure does seem like the Kings got themselves a great deal. How do you see it?
I do as well. I think Jake Muzzin's proving to be a real solid defenseman, playing alongside Drew Doughty. He's a good fit there. He's got size. He shoots the puck well. He can move the puck up the ice. And, I think it's a fair deal both ways. I think there's definitely some security there for Jake Muzzin with the length of the contract and the dollars involved. And I think the Kings do a good job at keeping themselves in a good position. They now have their top three defensemen, Drew Doughty, Jake Muzzin, Slava Voynov, all three of those gentlemen under contract now for the next few years. So it puts them in a good position to continue to keep competing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it'll ignite enough offense from back in the blue line to solidify their power play. And it's a good move. I think both sides are very happy. And I think the Kings are finally at a stage in the franchise history that they have players that are with the organization that are maybe taking a little bit less money in order to stay just because they've created a great environment and they want to be part of a winning atmosphere.
When you take, and I want to get back to the contract situation in just a second, but when you take a look at what Muzzin has done in a fairly short period of time in the National Hockey League and with the Kings, how much progression have you seen in him?
Well, his game's really going a lot. I think when you go back to his first year, he scored a few goals right off the bat, and he was, I think that really, got him feeling that he could score a lot of goals, and then he started to overpower goaltenders. And I think what he's learned is now he's got to do the simple things that eventually will lead to his success, but more importantly, lead to his team's success. And when you have leaders, guys like Drew Doughty, who's, twice won Stanley Cups, twice won gold medals with Team Canada, world-class players like Anze Kopitar, Jeff Carter, you see these guys and you learn from them. And, he's sacrificing parts of his own game in order for the team to succeed. And it's going to pay dividends. He's going to have a long career because of it. And he's going to be a guy that is going to play in a lot of different situations, a guy that every team in the league would like to have as part of their makeup. And his game is coming around nicely. He's eating up more minutes. He's playing in all the situations, power play. He can play some penalty kill. He can play against the opposing team's top players. And, he's a very valuable asset to the Kings' blue line.
You mentioned those three defensemen who are signed long-term, Doughty, Voynov, and Green. You take a look up front, Brown, Richards, Carter, Gabrick, all signed long-term. And it seems like right now that the one guy that, well, not doesn't seem like, the one core member that isn't signed long-term is Kopitar, who enters the final year of his deal next season. And this is going to be one of those contracts that we might be talking about a benchmark contract here. He's turned himself into that good of a hockey player, hasn't he?
He really has. He's as good a two-way center as there is in the National Hockey League. Credit to both Terry Murray, who, when Anze was young, he really rounded out his complete game. Andrzej, when he came over to play with the Kings, you know, coming from Slovenia and playing over in Sweden there, he had a complete game, but he's taken it to another level. He takes a lot of pride in it. And, you know, I think when you idolize players like Pavel Datsyuk and, you know, some of the great two-way players in the league, you're only going to improve, and it's going to make you that much better of a player. And that's what Kopitar is doing now with the young players that are coming up. He's the guy that they look up to. When you get a guy that is a world-class player like Kopitar who could, you know, arguably go out and score, you know, 35, 40 goals a year, reach that 100-point plateau, sacrifice it in order for the team to win, it creates a great environment and a great way to bring up your young players. That's what the Kings have got right now with not only their veteran players, but with the young guys that are coming up.
In conversation with Darrell Evans, the color voice of the LA Kings here on Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Hey, look who's leading your team in scoring. Tanner Pearson has 6 points, and he's kind of leading the way, and just another weapon for this team. Tell us a little bit more about Tanner Pearson, because we saw him burst onto the scene in last year's postseason.
Well, Tanner Pearson, I've always been impressed with his game. I like the feistiness and the aggressiveness that he plays with. He pursues the puck very diligently. He's willing to pay a price in order to score a goal. He's got a world-class release. And he's got a lot of chemistry with his line mate in Tyler Toffoli. They play down in Manchester. Jeff Carter has been a great fit for that entire line. He's got speed. He's got playmaking ability. And those three are having a lot of fun, being right now one of the top lines in the National Hockey League. They call it that 70s line. Last year they created magic in the postseason, mm-hmm. which really was a big part of the Kings winning the Stanley Cup. And they have not missed a beat coming into this season, as you see them 1, 2, and 3 in the Kings scoring.
Yeah, it's been pretty impressive to see how that's turned out, because that's maybe the thing that is most impressive from this standpoint is seeing the Kings with all these established players and also players like Pearson and players like Toffoli who are able to then jump in and be impact makers themselves. I mean, it's not as if the pipeline is dry either.
No, it reminds me a little bit of what the Detroit Red Wings had there for a number of years, when you'd see the young players like the Datsyuks and the Zetterbergs coming into the next layer underneath the Yzermans, Fedorovs, Shanahans. And I think it's a credit to the veteran players that they allow those young players to grow. The organization doesn't have to rush these guys in. And that's been the case. These guys were good players with their junior hockey clubs. They got a chance to go to Manchester, play as professionals, play against men, bigger, heavier bodies. And they were both able to excel down there. And now when you bring them up, they don't have to be your go-to guys immediately when they come to the National Hockey League. You let them get their feet wet, and that's why they were able to emerge the way that they did last year. You know, you got Justin Williams, you know, Marian Gaborik, who led all scorers last year in the postseason, Andrzej Kopitar, who had the most points, and yet these two young players had a big impact on what the Kings were able to accomplish. So without that pressure of having to be those go-to guys, you allow these guys to be able to grow and eventually become the players that we're now starting to see on a night-to-night basis.
Hey, Darrell, as always, appreciate you doing this, and enjoy the rest of the season in Los Angeles. Looks like there's going to be a lot to enjoy as per usual. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.
I look forward to it, guys. Enjoy the games, and we'll catch up again soon.
Absolutely. There is the color voice of the LA Kings, Darrell Evans, joining us here on Hockey Central at noon. So LA off to a 3-1-1 start to the season. And, yeah, when you talk about Tyler Toffoli and Tanner Pearson's leading the team in scoring, and you already have all the firepower that's there, like right now, the Kings, I haven't even made my Stanley Cup pick, and we didn't do that at the beginning of the year, and we forgot to, so it's too late now. But the LA Kings look as strong a team to repeat as Cup champions as we've seen in a while. I mean, I guess probably about the same as last year, to be honest with you, when the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup in 2013 and going into this past season, they looked like a pretty good bet to repeat as Stanley Cup champions. I think the Kings look like a pretty good bet to repeat as Stanley Cup champions as well. It's been a while since we've seen a repeat Stanley Cup winner, although the Kings with 2 and 3 are as close to what we've seen in that regard in a long, long time. Pat Steinberg along with you as Hockey Central Central at noon continues. And the Calgary Flames are on the road right now. They're on the road until Sunday. They're back on home ice Tuesday when they welcome the Tampa Bay Lightning. And we have got a great way for you to get in. How about $30 for a ticket in the Sport Check zone? And they're available at all Calgary Sport Check stores. It really is the best value you're going to get sporting-wise in the city. You're seeing the NHL for $30. Steve Stamkos and the Lightning in town on Tuesday. We haven't seen Stamkos in the city in a long time. Carolina's in town on Thursday. Jeff Skinner looks like he'll be back in time for that game. So plenty of reasons to check out the Sport Check Zone and get yourself a great seat. $30 tickets in the Sport Check Zone and still tickets available for Tuesday's game at home to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Sport Check stores in this city for only $30, or you can enter to win a few on sportsnet.ca/960 right now. Next up, I really don't think Johnny Gaudreau sitting down tonight is all that big of a deal. I'll tell you why as we continue on Hockey Central at noon. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
On the air at 960 on the AM dial. Online at sportsnet.ca/960. Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960. The Fan. The Fan. The Fan. Hockey Central at noon continues, only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Guys here, you know, a lot stronger, faster, smarter, and, you know, the game's just a whole other level up. And, you know, it's you know, a little time I got to get used to and adjust to. And you know, I'm playing with, you know, a lot of talented players in the locker room who are going to help me get there throughout the season. So, you know, I'm excited to see where I, you know, end up in a few more weeks here.
That is the voice of Johnny Gaudreau, who may or may not be a healthy scratch tonight. Everything that we're thinking for Flames hockey tonight is a game-time decision. But judging on morning skate in Columbus, it looks like Gaudreau will be a healthy scratch, and I don't think that's that big of a deal. Welcome back to Hockey Central at noon. Pat Steinberg along with you from Shanks and Crowfoot Terrace, our home away from the Dome, the Flames, and the Columbus Blue Jackets at 5 o'clock, which means our warm-up program is at 4 o'clock. Yeah, I don't think Johnny Gaudreau sitting down tonight is necessarily a bad thing. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't really think it's all that much of an indicator of anything at all. I don't have a problem with it, and I'm as big a Gaudreau booster as there is. I mean, if there's been one guy banging the Johnny Gaudreau drum since the start of the Penticton Young Stars Classic, it's been me. But I was fully aware that, you know, his transition into full-time regular season hockey wasn't going to be, you know, just an easy one, and he'd be able to jump right in and be an impact maker like that. I think what we've seen from Gaudreau is kind of the type of hockey we thought we might see from Gaudreau, in that he has shown his skill. I think in all five games he's played in, he has created two or three things and has made something happen in the offensive zone. But I also think we knew his all-round game was going to take a little bit of time. And the only reason I think he's sitting out tonight is because I think they're managing a player and they're doing something that probably isn't the worst thing in the world. And I say that because, and for all those people who say apologists, or all those people who are losing their minds saying Bob Hartley and the Flames are ruining Gaudreau, just hold on for a second. Johnny Gaudreau has already, with his preseason hockey, his Penticton Young Stars hockey, and now the regular season, he's already played like a quarter of a college season, and we're not even into the early stages of an NHL season yet. We're five games in, and he's already played a quarter of a college season. Like, this is something brand new for him. He's never played a schedule even close to something like this. You're playing 40 games at most in college, and we're already talking about 14 games that he's played, and we're sitting here on October 17th. You have got to manage players when they're making an adjustment like this. Nathan MacKinnon and Sean Monahan jumped in from junior hockey to the National Hockey League. In junior hockey, you're playing 72 regular season games with preseason and playoffs. That's completely different than college hockey when you're only playing on weekends. So remember that, and remember that, you know, you have to manage them properly. And because of that, I don't think this is a big deal. I think that he'll be probably back in no time at all, whether it's Sunday or beyond that. I think we'll see Johnny Gaudreau back in the lineup in no time. I still think he deserves to be here. I still think he helps create offense on this team. But if they're giving him a rest, I totally understand. That's how I read things. Got some texts at 960-960. We'll read as the afternoon continues. If you want to chime in, you can do so via the text lines. Once again, 960-960. The Flames in Columbus tonight, and one of the big stories throughout the offseason, not just in Columbus but league-wide, was Ryan Johansson, who did not play any preseason hockey, did not take part in training camp in Columbus because of a long and somewhat acrimonious contract dispute. He held out and finally got a deal before the start of the regular season, but we thought, a lot of people thought, that it might be a slow start. It might take some time for him to get back into it. Not so much. 5 points in three games, and Johansson leads the Blue Jackets in scoring, and lots to talk about when it comes to Johansson. He spoke with our Peter Labardius in Columbus.
Ryan, through everything, and it's obviously been an interesting summer and into the fall, but on the ice, it seems like you've picked up right where you left off. Have you almost surprised yourself a little bit?
Yeah, I did. You know, I have surprised myself, I think. You know, definitely happy with, you know, the first couple of games and how the team's been playing and how I've been playing. And being put together with Nick and Cam as soon as I got here, we've had some success early on. And it's been a lot of fun. It's not too bad we couldn't come out the win on Tuesday versus Dallas, but you know, we'll just shift our focus to Calgary tomorrow and try and get 2 points before we go on a stretch of road games.
Brian, what kept you going in the fall with all the talk and all the attention and wondering how it was going to go? That could not have been very easy.
Yeah, it was tough. Just knowing your teammates were you know, out here going through the whole camp together in the preseason and really gearing up for the season. You know, it was tough when I would be just working out or sitting on my couch back home, so it was definitely a different situation, but you know, I just made sure I was on top of things, took care of my body and tried to get stay in the best shape as I could in, and you know, the transition has been easier than I thought, and you know, I'm feeling good about my game right now, and you know, like I've been talking about with other guys in the past couple of days, just keep trying to get better each day and you know, get to the level that I want to be at.
Watch you a lot in junior, and then let's be honest, it's been a bit of a process for you. Yet, what came together? Why did it all come together last year?
Yeah, it has been a process. You know, I think it was just, you know, like anything in life, you got to believe in yourself, believe in your abilities, and you know, I was thinking too much about the game, and I had a lot to learn, but I was just overthinking everything, and you know, before the start of last year, I just said to myself, I'm just going to go out and play and do my thing, and you know, and then I started having some success and got some confidence off that, and then the team started doing well, and I just rolled with it and just kept going and going, and you know, definitely like the strides I took as an individual last year, you know, and like I just said, it's about keep moving forward now and trying to be the player that I want to be. You know, definitely on the right track.
Is there a message, and I know you're not a very old guy yet, needless to say, even though you've been around for a few years, but is there a message that, like, you could almost convey to young players that, hey, listen, even when it doesn't necessarily start well, you know, understand it is a process and you need to work through it? Is that fair?
Yeah, totally. I mean, like I said, you know, you got to believe in yourself first and before other people believe in you. And you know, it's about going out there, enjoying the game, having fun, and you know, just doing your thing. And really, just like literally as simple as that, just go out and have fun and you know, enjoy the game, enjoy being with your team and you know, trying to have success together. And you know, that's what this team's made up of. And the last year and the start of this year, that's what it's been for us. We've just been, you know, enjoying the process together and growing as a young team.
How are you guys feeling right now? I mean, the hockey injury gods have not been very kind to this group. Some big and key injuries. How are you guys fighting through that?
Yeah, definitely challenging. Guys are being put in roles that they're not normally used to maybe, but you know, a lot of players have stepped up as well. Bob's been great for us right now, which is huge. And I thought our defense have been really solid for us the first few games. And you know, our forwards have been finding ways to get the puck in the net. So, you know, we're going to have to keep stepping up and making big plays for this hockey club to win some games before we get those guys back to full health.
Ryan Johansson in conversation with Peter Labardius today. And Johansson leads the team in scoring, the Blue Jackets, 5 points in three games. Somebody texts in, says, did Johansson get a fair deal in your opinion? I think that he ended up getting a deal that, you know, he's probably pretty happy with. Decent cap hit, and it ends up with, for him, you know, he's able to parlay that, I think, in a few years into a pretty big payday if he continues to play the way that he's playing. So I like that deal specifically from a Johansson standpoint, and it looks like no worse for wear as he's leading this team in scoring to start the year. No question, injuries to Boone Jenner, Brandon Dubinsky, and Nathan Horton, though, I really believe that forced Columbus's hand. I think most people believe that forced Columbus's hand, but they're probably happy right now that they got the deal done. That'll do it for Hockey Central at Noon. Want to thank the color voice of the Flames, Peter Labardius, and the color voice of the Kings, Darrell Evans, for joining us on the program today. Flames and Blue Jackets, 5 o'clock start, which means a 4 o'clock warm-up from Shanks and Crowfoot Terrace. The big show starts around the corner as Hockey Central at Noon wraps up on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
If it's on the ice, it's on the air and online right here. Calgary's home for the NHL. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.